thought about what that is saying. The best translation of that is to say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. I shall lack nothing. So whenever you hear that verse again, just think of it in the fact that because he is our shepherd, there's nothing that we are losing out on. There's nothing that we can lack. In other words, we've got it made in the shade as believers in Jesus Christ. As you look at the second verse, we looked at the second verse and we spent some time on that. And we see that here God is telling us that we need his peace. We need his peace desperately. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. When I think of that verse, I think of God's peace. I think of those green pastures. I think of those still waters. I think of all the blessings that God has for us. And if you excuse me for just a second. Thank you there, humble servant. You need help? You're really going the extra mile.
That's definitely worth a bonus this month.
There's a bonus. Thank you. she's the best. I think of God's peace that he gives us in verse 2. Verse 3, when I read, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What I think of here is God's purpose. That God has a purpose for every single one of us. No matter who we are, that if we are in Christ Jesus, we have a purpose. And there's a purpose for you being here on this planet. There's a purpose and there's a reason why God created you to be who you are. That you are the only one, that no one has another DNA like you. No one has another footprint like you or a fingerprint like you. You are who you are. As Paul says, I am who I am. And you are who you are because of Christ, because of faith that lives in your heart. And then the fourth thing, as the psalmist shares with us, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That was a very difficult passage because many of us can identify with that. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And for many of us, it has been through disappointment. For many of us, it has been through losing a loved one. For many of us, it has been the loss of a job or a failed relationship or financial distress, or you can name all kinds of things. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the good news of that is that I will fear no evil. And it seems like fear is what has gripped so many people today. That we are living in a country, in a nation of fear. We're surrounded by fear. It's everywhere. It's in the hearts of people wherever we go. The Word of God tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I like what Frank put on our radio little announcement, you know, that God's not worried about COVID. And he's not caught up in that. And all we need to do is trust him. Absolutely. And then, so there's contentment in verse 1. There's peace in verse 2. There's purpose in verse 3. There's confidence as we look at verse 4. And at verse 5, it says, this is what we looked at last week, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. And there I see abundance. God has graciously lavished his abundant blessing upon us. He has anointed our heads with oil. He's given us his Holy Spirit. Our table is full. He says, you have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Even in this wacky, wild, crazy world, God has prepared a table. And someday we will all meet around that banqueting table that he's prepared for us in heaven. And it's that banqueting table that we can all look forward to every single day. And that's the hope that keeps us going. And then finally, in verse 6, which is the very last verse of Psalm 23, this is what it says. And I love this verse. Surely. Now, if it just used that one word, surely, and left it there, that would be enough. Surely. Surely. I can hear people say that word today, the word surely, as they speak forth with expectation. This is the word of expectation. Surely, he says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope we can all say that. Surely, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Those two words go together. Goodness, mercy. You cannot have goodness without mercy. You cannot have mercy without goodness. As I think of God's mercy, I think of his goodness in a profound way. God has been so merciful to me, a sinner. God has been so merciful to me in all the issues and the struggles and everything that I've ever faced. I have sensed his mercy. I have sensed his power and his grace in a powerful and profound way. And I'm thankful for that. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Okay? There's a promise there because it will follow us. It will take us on home, if you will. It will take us to the very last day that we live on this planet, and none of us know when that last day is going to be. It could be tomorrow. It could be 90 years from now. None of us know that. But it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord forever. Whenever I think of that, I get so excited because I want to go there today. I want to be in the house of the Lord today. We know what it is to go into a physical house, but the spiritual house of heaven is waiting for those who know the Lord and who trust him. So I'll leave those thoughts with you this morning because it's important for us to have a sense of great expectation in our hearts. If we're to show the world what it means to be a believer, then we need to be overflowing with expectation. Surely the goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. By now you probably have that verse all memorized, and that whole chapter, I hope you do, because it has sure kept me out of a few pickles along the way, and it has sure given me strength. And I know most of us hear it at a funeral service, and I think that's kind of tragic that we hear just that one passage at a funeral service. That's something, this is a theme that ought to be part of our lives and that we ought to be rejoicing in every single day. So with that said, let's bow together in prayer, and we're going to sing our last song, The Family of God. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this glorious day that we're able to come together and be here outside, just rejoicing in the truth and rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in us will perfect it, will complete it until the day of Christ. We pray that the 23rd Psalm would be an amazing passage of Scripture that will live in our hearts forever, that it will continue to change our lives as we focus on your goodness and your mercy following us all the days of our lives. So, Lord, give us strength this morning for those of us who are weary, for those who are downtrodden, for those who seem to be discouraged in any way. I pray that the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ would permeate our hearts and our minds until that very day we see the Savior. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Thank you, Lord, that we belong to your family. In Jesus' name, amen. If you feel like standing, you can. If you don't, that's fine too. We're going to sing together, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God." Most of you know the words to that, I think.